This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and it's the place that we spend a half hour with you, Monday through Friday, 8:30 of the morning and 5 o'clock of an evening, over on WWBC 1510 AM. We're over there at 10:30 of a morning, and we're going to be diving into the Word of God. Right now, we are... going through Ephesians chapter 6 and looking at becoming people who are devoted prayers. So prayers are things that we pray, but prayers are people who pray. So that's what we are looking to develop, people who are devoted to communicating with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, by the way, you can... pretty much begin to kiss the first half of the year goodbye. Today is the last day of June, and that means half of the year is already gone by, and that seems hard to imagine. I can tell you, the older I get, the faster things seem to be moving, and I hope you made the most out of the first half, and if you didn't, I pray that you set your sights on making the most out of the second half of 2025 for the glory of God. So my wife and I, we're going to get to see some of our out-of-town family for a couple of days, and we're looking forward to that, and they're going to be stopping in and hugging our necks, and We'll have some good fellowship and good food, and really enjoying that. Today we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, but first of all, I'd like to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I don't know if you've ever had anything concrete that broke, but I have, and it was part of my house, and I was like, how in the world do you fix that? And I tell you how I fixed it. I called the folks at Jits Concrete, and they came and did things that I hadn't thought of, and they got my project done, and for that I am very, very thankful. So we did that with some patio work a couple of years ago, and ever since we had moved in the house, the patio had a slope to it to where you really couldn't use the biggest percentage of the patio for anything functional. I mean, you couldn't set a chair on there. You'd feel like you were falling over on your head. I'm sure they did that for water drainage. And there was some tricky parts to that project, and I didn't know how to solve them. But the folks at Jits Concrete, they got together. They literally had two or three people that came over, and they came up with a solution, got the problem solved, and our patio is now a place that we like to go and spend some time when it's not the temperature of the sun out there. But Jits Concrete, they're experts in all things concrete. They will put their decades of expertise, their decades of experience, and their fantastic work ethic to work on your project like they did on mine. They can be reached at 321-536-5804. That sounds like something you might be interested in. Ephesians chapter 6, we had just concluded talking about the helmet of salvation and how salvation impacts the way that we think. And if it impacts the way that we think, it'll be able to impact the way that we pray, the way that we behave, and the way that we prioritize the issues of our life. And so today we're going to move to the latter part of verse number 17. And a lot of people think that this is the end of the discussion on the armor of God, but it's really not. And it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So let me read verse number 17 through 20. And it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what I just read. That's the latter part of verse number 17. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, I've got these Gideon swords is what they're called. Our church gives a lot of money to missions. And one of those missions funds that we give to, we give consistently to it, have through the years. And there for a while, if you had given a certain amount of money, they would give you these decorative swords. And there no point on or no blade on them or anything like that that's sharp. It's designed to hang on a wall. It's not designed to be a functional sword. And so we have a couple of those. And every once in a while, I will grab one of those to bring it out as an illustration. They're very long. It's probably got a 2.5 to 3 foot long blade on it, though it doesn't have an edge, a sharp edge anyway. And so I have two of those. And whenever I bring out that sword, there was a time when there were people that sat closer to the front, and they would want to start moving to the back. But they were more concerned about whether or not I was going to injure myself. Now I'm not up there flailing around with it or swinging it or anything like that. I just bring it out as a visual effect. Well, that's got it's a long sword. The word that is used here, and the sword of the Spirit, it means a sword or a dagger. It was, both an offensive and a defensive weapon, but it was a shorter sword. It was one that was used for hand-to-hand conflict where you were up close and personal. So, you know, it was something that was used in both offensive and defensive manners, but if you didn't have that, you were in trouble. If the enemy was armed and you weren't, that's not a good place to be. And so this is specifically here, it's not talking about a physical weapon, but a spiritual weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit. And here that refers to the Holy Spirit. And it goes on, and it gives us clarity as to what Paul is referring to here, and that is, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is a spiritual sword. And so I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and verse number 11 and 12. And 13, and it says this, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to some or to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so when we couple this, and then you could also go into the book of Revelation where it talks about Jesus and his appearing, and that there is a sword that goes out of his mouth and it strikes the nation. It's the word of God. And you and I need to realize how powerful and effective that is. And again, it's defined here as the sword of the Spirit. And so if you are a born-again believer, and especially if you claim to be filled with the Spirit or be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to have a deep appreciation for the Word of God so that you study it, you memorize it, you live it, and you pray it. Praying the Word of God is one of the most powerful things that we could do, because we know that when we're praying the Word of God, we're praying the heart of God. We're praying in accordance with the will of God. And that takes it out of the realm of maybe faulty thinking. It takes it out of the realm of selfishness. It puts it into the spirit realm, and it takes it away from emotion and faulty thinking and all of that, and it brings us right to the will of God. So here in Hebrews chapter 4, it describes that the Word of God is living. It's living. So there have already been numerous times this year as I was reading the Word of God, and I was reading it not for a sermon. I wasn't reading it for the radio. I'm just feasting on the Word of God, where all of a sudden, even though I've read the Bible, you know, probably hundreds and hundreds of times, the Spirit of God quickens something to where I see something in the Word that I've never seen before, and it has a real life application for me. So the Word of God is alive. When I was in college, I had this happen here. A few weeks ago, I was talking to my son about this. I don't remember exactly where I was, but it was someplace where I was studying. Maybe I was in my office, and I don't know. It might have been because it was later in the afternoon, but it was suddenly very, very warm where I was at, and I was deep in study. Really concentrating under a deadline, and it was making me sleepy. And I told my son, I said, man, I'm having a bit of a relapse from back to when I was in Bible college, because they kept the library. It was a very extensive library. And they had lots of resources and lots of study areas, but they kept it so warm in there that I couldn't study in there. It just, whenever I would go to read those books, it would put me right to sleep. And I wasn't big into naps back then. I try to not be big into naps now, but every once in a while I need one. But I had that situation where I was so deep into it that I was feeling, you know, the pressure. And it a lot of times when people read the Bible, they think it's boring. I think it's thrilling. I think it's an exciting book. I think that there's a lot more to the Word of God than what a superficial reading will be able to give to us. And so if you recognize that it's living, you will have a hunger for it. If you realize that the Word of God is powerful, so when you study the temptations of Christ after he was baptized, you will find that Jesus quoted appropriately and in context the principle and the meaning and the passage of the Word of God. Anytime someone brought him a question, if there was a direct scripture to refer to, that's how he dealt with that situation. You know, it would be really great if we held up in our modern society the power of God's Word and recognized it as truth, not just in a spiritual manner, but in, you know, day-to-day living instructions. It's powerful. It will overpower temptation. It will bring you the biblical perspective instead of a selfish perspective. It'll bring you the perspective of truth instead of a perspective of someone who's trying to deceive you. So it's living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's able to, you know, a two-edged sword has a leading edge and a trailing edge. So it, you know, can do a lot of things. It can cut through a lot of nonsense, if you will. It can penetrate deep into a person's life, and that's what it talks about here. It's able to pierce to the division of soul and spirit. If you go into any in-depth Bible study, you will see that there is some serious overlap. Man's makeup is body, soul, and spirit. It's the body, the souls, the mind, the will, the emotions, the life, and the spirit is the spiritual aspect that we're supposed to utilize to have a spiritual relationship with God. And so, but there's a lot of overlap in those areas. But if you look at this passage, it says the Word of God can separate things that are part of our intellect, but they're not part of the spirit, the part of our emotion or our will. But what God is looking for is for the Word of God to impact us spiritually, and then it will impact the other areas of our life. Well, it goes on and it says, and of joints and marrow. Joints and marrow. And so whenever I hear someone at church requesting prayer for whether it's a knee or an ankle or a shoulder or a wrist, any of those joints or bone issues or vertebrae issues, I always pray Hebrews 4:12, because the Word of God can penetrate to the joints and the marrow. It can get down there and make an impact where my eyes would do no good. I wouldn't have the foggiest idea what I was looking at. You know, there are doctors and they specialize in bones and joints, and I'm thankful for the doctors who've helped me with my shoulder issues, and I've got other doctors for other areas of expertise that are needed. But I'm thankful for the Word of God that it can get down to the support system that God has designed for us physically, that it doesn't just impact us intellectually, it doesn't just impact us spiritually, but the Word of God can have a positive impact on us physically. And it talks about that the Word of God is a sword that can give us clear indications of what the intent of our heart is and the things that we're thinking about. You know, we talked about the helmet of salvation. Well, the Word of God helps us to take every thought and bring it into captivity and make it subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you do that by default, you will be amazed at the number of things that are not tempting for you that way, because you just automatically bring that thought and say, no, that's not a godly thought. So here a couple of weeks ago, I had had some time of praise and worship, and I'm not a musician, so I have to technologically import the music And I ended up in some music that went back into the 1980s. And I ended up coming to this song, and the song is, I went from praise and worship into this rabbit trail, and I got a song stuck in my head from the 1980s. And all night long, that stupid song, and it's not even a great song theologically. It just happens to be something that got triggered a 4-decade-old memory, and that was stuck in my head all night long. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be singing that song in my head at 3 o'clock in the morning for an hour and a half to 2 hours. It's just, I need my thoughts to be where they're supposed to be. And listen, you know, that's, if you're thinking about Christian music at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a lot of worse things that you can be thinking about, but I really want to be thinking about sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we need God to do a work in our heart so that we can take our thoughts captive, so that we don't end up doing damage to ourselves or to others spiritually. You know, I was grieved here a few weeks ago when I heard of another spiritual casualty. And can I say this? Please guard your heart. Don't ever get to the place where we all have to avoid this. And this is one of my personal life goals, is to make sure that I don't ever become the stumbling block due to having a sense of entitlement, and that the word of God and the laws of God don't apply to me, and I get to go and do whatever I want because, hey, after all, I'm one of my favorite people. That's not the way life works. The life is not getting to us a place of entitlement where we think we get to sin, you know, however and whenever we want to. That's not the goal of Christian living. The goal of Christian living is to live a holy and sinless life. And so the Word of God is a spiritual weapon. And so you and I, we need to be able to pray the Word of God. And so as you're reading the Bible, I think maybe a running notebook or a journal would be something good to have. And one of those could be on prayer, so that when you are going through all 66 books of the Bible, you can first of all identify prayers that people pray. You could identify things that the Holy Spirit quickens to you. Write those down to where you pray those. There are some resources that are out there. If you search the internet, and there's like some bookmark sized prayer guides that you can get. In July, we're going to be having a time of prayer at Merit Assembly of God, where we've got a 30-day calendar where we're going to be praying for, you know, the month of July, and the topic will switch, you know, every day. We've got our general counsel coming up in Orlando in the month of August, and so that's not that far away. We've also got the Sunday before general counsel, we've got evangelist Danny Duvall that's going to be with us as well. And so there's a lot of different things that you can pray. And so if you're reading through the word and God quickens a passage to you, you can write that down. So you can see in there that there's some prayers that people pray that were how they really felt at the time. And, you know, there may be, you know, better prayers to pray than what that person was going through. It says all scripture is given by inspiration. But one thing about the Bible is it doesn't sugarcoat the lives of people. It shows them the good, the bad, and the ugly. It shows them in reality. And so you and I, we want to pray prayers of faith. And it's a spiritual sword that God has given to us that we need to make use of. There are a lot of people that get, you know, they want to be into the emotional side of Christianity. There are other people who like to be in the intellectual side of Christianity. I want to be in all of the reality of Christianity. I want the Word of God to be part of my weapon, my arsenal that God has given to us. And so the Word of God, I'll close out with this verse here. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The Word of God is spirit, and it is spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth so that we can pray that truth. There's something that goes on right now in society. There's on social media and things like that. There are non-believers trying to explain the Word of God to believers. And I would caution you to not fall for that, because I've heard some of the things that people have said, and I was like, you can't stretch that passage that far. That's not what God said there. And so I would highly recommend that when you go to prayer, you take your Bible with you and you say, God, I want to thank you for the privilege of calling on your name. I want to thank you that you've given me prayer as a weapon to help me succeed in my Christian life. God, I want to pray. I want to pray the Word of God. Lord, I pray that it would be the sword of the Spirit in my life so that we would experience victory and not defeat. One of my famous lines that I like to tell our congregations is, in Christ, you've been sentenced to life. Make sure you enjoy it. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."